Ethiopia denies extreme police violence at a protest. We're joined on the line by Deputy Director for Africa Human Rights Watch, Leslie Lefko. Leslie, good day to you and welcome to the program on Radio Islam.
Good day and thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Tell us, what was the purpose of Angela Merkel's visit to Ethiopia?
Well, she had several agendas. One was to open a new African Union building that Germany had helped to finance. But while there, she also had what seemed to have been bilateral conversations with Ethiopian government officials, and she held a press conference with Prime Minister Haile Mariam Desalegn of Ethiopia, where the situation in Ethiopia and the current violence and tensions were discussed.
Ethiopia is accused of using extreme violence at protests, which they deny. What actually happened?
So what has been happening in Ethiopia is that since November last year, for almost a year now, there have been ongoing protests, initially in the region called Oromia, which is the largest geographic region in Ethiopia and home to the Oromo people, who make up about 35% of Ethiopia's population. And these protests initially stemmed from what communities felt was land grabbing, confiscation of farmland without compensation, and other grievances. But the Ethiopian government used extreme violence and repression reacting to these protests back in last November, started to shoot protesters, arrest many, many, many people, and detain them. Some people have complained of torture. And so what we've seen over the last year is that what triggered the protests has now evolved into a wider movement across other parts of Ethiopia, including Amhara region, which is another major ethnic group in Ethiopia. And the grievances at the heart of the protests have expanded to encompass, you know, frustration and anger over what many Ethiopians feel is deep repression of their fundamental human rights, their rights to express their opinions, their right to peacefully protest, and their right to participate in policies and decision-making that affects their lives. And over the last year, Human Rights Watch believes that at least 500 people have been killed by security forces in these protests. The number may be higher. It's extremely difficult to get a precise death toll.
Human Rights Watch has put the death toll at 500. As you said, it's difficult to get the precise amount, while social media activists and some opposition groups have said it's much higher. The authorities say such estimates are exaggerated. So as you indicate, that it may be difficult, but is there any, what we'd say, estimation that may be close to the reality?
It's incredibly difficult because one of the problems is that Ethiopia has basically denied access to much of the country for human rights investigators. So Human Rights Watch and Amnesty and other international human rights groups have great difficulty accessing the country and conducting investigations. Journalists, including foreign journalists, have also experienced problems. They've sometimes been detained when they've tried to go to investigate or report on what's been happening at these protests. And there's no independent organization that's monitoring Ethiopia's prisons and military barracks, where a lot of people are being detained. There's also been a lot of pressure and intimidation by Ethiopian security forces against medical workers and health workers who tried to treat injured protesters. So all of this makes putting, concrete numbers very, very difficult. In June of this year, Human Rights Watch, we published a report where we had a list of about 300 individuals who we were more or less able to corroborate were victims of shootings and other violence during the protests since November, but that was in June, and there's been a number of very serious incidents since then when large numbers, dozens of people have been killed. So we think a conservative estimate is at least 500, but the much bigger numbers, some people say, you know, closer to 800, 1,000 people, those may be correct. And I think the question marks around these numbers are one of the very important reasons why there needs to be an independent investigation. The family members of people who've been killed and detained need to know what has happened to their loved ones, and that's only going to happen with an independent investigation.
The Ethiopian government has consistently blamed what it called anti-peace elements outside the country for the trouble, and Monday pointed a finger at Eritrea and Egypt. Why have these two countries been blamed?
Well, let me just say that there's a long history of the Ethiopian government denying, you know, both human rights allegations of serious human rights violations, but also then when they do acknowledge that there's a domestic problem, pointing the finger outside the country. And Eritrea has long been in a kind of cold war with Ethiopia. The two countries have very, very difficult relations since they fought a war in the late 90s. They've never really resumed diplomatic relations in the full sense. And Eritrea is a regular target for Ethiopia's accusations of when there are domestic unrest, incidents of unrest in Ethiopia. And there is some truth to that. Both countries have supported insurgent groups against the other in the past. That really is both states have had that problem. But I think that pointing the finger at Eritrea or Egypt in this situation is really a red herring, because these protests have come about from real public community social frustration and grievances in Ethiopia among many, many, many communities. This is not something that has been led from outside the country.
Yes, important insight in that regard. Now, the Ethiopian government has denied repeated requests by the United Nations and Human Rights Group to send observers to the country. Why are they scared to allow outside observers?
Well, I mean, it's hard to know. It's a good question that you know, the Ethiopian government needs to answer why they've refused to allow international observers. And, of course, it's not just in the last year. The UN special rapporteurs, the human rights experts from the UN, have long lists of requests to visit Ethiopia, you know, going back more than a decade, where they've not been issued invitations. But I think that the conventional wisdom would be they clearly feel they have something to hide.
Yes, it's all likely that that could be the main reason. Now, speaking to Al Jazeera, Abdurrahman Mahdi, one of the founders of the Ojedin, a national liberation from the ONLF, said Ethiopia is now boiling. Is that an accurate a description to where the country is at this current moment?
I think it is a reasonable description. I think Ethiopia is right now in the most precarious political crisis that we've seen in many, many years. We've not seen this level of public unrest, of fearlessness from Ethiopians in continuing to organize these demonstrations. In many, many years. I mean, the Ethiopian government has had a very problematic record of suppressing public demonstrations for years, for more than 10 years. And so the kind of public reaction and response that we're seeing is unprecedented in the last 11 years. And there has, of course, it must be said, there's also been violence by some of these protests. There's been some destruction of foreign farms, you know, so the violence is not completely one-sided. But I think that we're at a real crossroads for Ethiopia, And the government needs to recognize the very dangerous moment that we're in, because if they continue to use an iron fist to try to crush dissent and crush public protests and grievances, I think this will only exacerbate the situation. Many Ethiopians already feel there is no space, there is no political space to express their grievances in a peaceful way. And that's a very, very worrying situation. So I would hope that the Ethiopian government would really think about reversing the way that it dealt with these protests and these grievances, and try to, take some steps that would build confidence among the protesters and by the Ethiopian public in the government. Releasing many of the people who've been detained, arbitrarily arrested and detained over the last 11 months, releasing many of the more high-profile Oromo political leaders who've been arrested, some of whom are being prosecuted under terrorism charges right now, very politically motivated prosecutions, allowing an independent investigation. These are all steps that will not resolve the crisis, but they would go a long way towards building trust and confidence that the government is willing to use other means than violence to crush this movement.
Yes, sir, the situation undoubtedly of great concern. We appreciate your time on Radio Islam. Leslie, thank you very much for chatting to us.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The situation in Ethiopia and how the government has been dealing with unrest and crushing it is of concern. And in the same light, we're also concerned about how government has been dealing with fees must fall, so a common thread throughout the African continent.